And if someone came in for a second opinion and the first opinion said venetoclax alone, how would you feel about it? If the first opinion said venetoclax obinutuzumab, how would you feel about it? And do you think an anti-CD20 antibody should be given in combination with venetoclax in this situation?
Well, the original approval for venetoclax was for 17p in the relapse setting. It was with monotherapy, and it was continuous and indefinite planned treatment. Subsequently, there was a trial done for relapse disease with venetoclax plus rituximab. We see a greater depth of remission, a higher proportion of patients who are MRD negative with a combination with a CD20 antibody. There isn't been a randomized comparison of monotherapy versus with a CD20 antibody, but my impression of the phase 2 data has been that the CD20 antibody does add to the efficacy. In the frontline setting, venetoclax has been tested with obinutuzumab, which is an alternative, probably more active, at least with chemotherapy, CD20 antibody. And the randomized CLL14 trial, the experimental arm was venetoclax plus obinutuzumab. So if a patient had come to me with a recommendation for venetoclax monotherapy, I think that's an option, but it would be better, I think, to treat this patient with a CD20 antibody because you would be expecting a higher proportion of those patients receiving that regimen to achieve a complete remission and to be MRD negative with that treatment. The monotherapy, I would probably recommend it if the patient were to receive monotherapy, have a discussion, less of a discussion about fixed duration treatment, more of a discussion about indefinite treatment if we're considering monotherapy. I do think that there's improved efficacy with the addition of the CD20 antibody, and it's relatively well tolerated with a reasonable toxicity profile.
So that really led me to the question of, in the past, patients with del-17p who progressed on BTK inhibitor or ibrutinib would get venetoclax alone second line. Would you still use venetoclax alone in that situation? Again, adds anti-CD20.
I would add anti-CD20 because I do feel that the addition of a CD20 does have synergistic effect with venetoclax and does improve outcomes.
Are there situations where you would choose to use rituximab combined with venetoclax as opposed to obinutuzumab, or pretty much just obinutuzumab?
I like obinutuzumab because of the data with chemoimmunotherapy. It tends to be very effective at clearing circulating disease. It also is very effective at clearing marrow disease, more so than rituximab. There is a little bit more toxicity associated with it, particularly first infusion toxicity with obinutuzumab compared to rituximab. But I do use rituximab occasionally, not in the frontline setting, more in the relapsed setting.
I was just thinking, are there any data or trials out there looking at sub-Q obinutuzumab?
Not that I know of.
Are you using sub-Q rituximab, or is MD Anderson in general using it?
We do not. I've had some issues with cutaneous reactions
really?
And tolerability with the sub-Q formulation. So
really?
I tend to give the IV, and I'll give it, if it's tolerated well, the first infusion, then I will try to ramp it up to the 90-minute infusion rather than the four-hour infusion.
As long as we're talking about alternatives, curious about biosimilars. What are you doing about that?
I have not used biosimilars. We don't have them included in our clinical trials. So it's hard for me to speak to that because I just don't have that much experience with the biosimilars.
How do you feel about biosimilar rituximab?
Well, I think that obinutuzumab is a superior CD20 antibody. So my preference would be to use that either in the frontline setting or in the relapsed setting.